Blog Talk Radio.
Benghazi battle elements that are under investigation.
On September 11, 2012, the anniversary of the September 11, 2001, the U.S. consulate and CIA annex in Benghazi, Libya, was targeted as a premeditated, pre-planned attack launched without warning by Islamist terror militants. Footage of the attack broadcast in real time showed armed men attacking the consulate with rocket-propelled grenades, hand grenades, assault rifles, 14.5-millimeter anti-aircraft machine guns, truck-mounted artillery, diesel canisters, and mortars. It was not an act of savage mob violence, nor a spontaneous protest in response to an anti-Islamic video on YouTube. In that attack, four American citizens were killed. U.S. Ambassador J. Christopher Stevens, Information Officer Sean Smith, and two embassy security personnel, Glenn Dowdy and Tyrone Woods, both former Navy SEALs. Ambassador Stevens is the first U.S. ambassador killed in an attack since Adolf Dubs was killed in 1979.
Article 2. Yes, disclose secret grand jury material by exposing the existence of a sealed indictment of one of the Benghazi attackers in violation of Rule 6E of the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure that clearly states no person may disclose the indictment's existence except as necessary to issue or execute a warrant or summons. Article 3. He has authorized and permitted the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, a division of the Justice Department, to conduct Operation Fast and Furious, wherein guns were sold to Mexican drug trafficking organizations that were used to kill innocent Mexican civilians, and two rifles sold to a smuggler in January 2010 ended up at the scene of a murder of a U.S. Border Patrol agent, Brian Terry, in December 2010. Article 4. He has authorized and permitted confidential income tax returns information from the Internal Revenue Service to be provided to unauthorized individuals, organizations, and agencies. Article 5. He has caused investigation and audits to be initiated or conducted by the Internal Revenue Service in a discriminatory manner, including harassment, intimidation of conservative, evangelical, and Tea Party groups applying for nonprofit status between 2010 and 2012. Elements of this illegal conduct include the facts that, number one, the head of the Internal Revenue Service tax-exempt organization division, Lois Lerner, admitted during a telephonic press event that illegal targeting occurred, then invoked her Fifth Amendment right and refused to answer questions before Congress about the targeting out of fear and self-incrimination. Number two, two other Korea Internal Revenue Service employees stated that they acted at the behest of superiors in Washington. Carter Hull, a retired Internal Revenue Service attorney, and Elizabeth Hoffacker, an employee of the Cincinnati IRS office, which oversaw tax-exempt applications. And three, Carter Hull stated that he was directed to forward the targeted applications to, among others, one of only two political appointees in the Internal Revenue Service Chief Counsel, William Wilkins.
Article 6. He has, one, authorized and permitted the National Security Agency to conduct the continued electronic surveillance of over 300 million average Americans, given access to National Security Agency surveillance data to other intelligence units within the Drug Enforcement Administration, the Secret Service, the Department of Defense, and the Department of Homeland Security in violation of the law, and three, conducted the surveillance of average Americans unconstrained by Congress. The United States, the United Supreme Court, or the U.S. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, which has to this date functioned as a rubber stamp, having approved every request made of it in 2012, and rejecting only two of the 8,591 requested submitted between 2008 and 2012. Article 7. He He has authorized and permitted the Department of Justice to wiretap and secretly obtain 2 months of telephone and email records of Fox News reporter James Rosen and over 100 Associated Press journalists. In Article 8, this thing goes on, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
He has thwarted Congress by failing to enforce all or part of laws duly enacted by Congress, including the Defense of Marriage Act, the No Child Left Behind Act, and the Affordable Care Act, and after Congress refused to pass his DREAM Act, unilaterally issuing an executive order directing immigration officers to no longer deport an entire class of illegal immigrants who came here as children, regardless of the individual circumstances, and to give them work authorization permits.
Article 9. He has violated the Constitution when on January 4th, 2012, he bypassed the U.S. Senate to appoint 3 members of the National Labor Relations Board, actions that were ruled unconstitutional by the United States Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit, which affirmed previous decisions by the Court of Appeal for the D.C. Circuit and the Third Circuit. He bypassed the U.S. Senate to appoint Richard Codray to head the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. That's a mouthful. Article 10. He has intimidated whistleblowers and brought twice as many prosecutions against whistleblowers as all prior presidents combined. Egregiously, while refusing to prosecute anyone for actual torture, he prosecuted former Central Intelligence Agency John Kirinoku for disclosing the torture program, whereas Barack H. Obama, a.k.a. Barry Sotoro, by such conduct warrants impeachment and trial and removal from office. The articles of impeachment have been sent to President Obama, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, House Speaker Boehner, House Minority Leader Pelosi, and the full Judiciary Committee of the U.S. House of Representatives for action.
So Yahoo, Wahoo, and that's going to go far, isn't it?
Yeah, but well, at least they did it.
You know, Kucinich read all of those, 20 articles of impeachment against J.W. Bush in Congress, and not a damn thing happened. And, you know, it just made you absolutely sick. Okay, and that was in 2006 with a
yeah.
Democratic Congress.
Doesn't make one bit of difference, but at least they did it.
You know, and it's this lady who filed, her name is Frances Rice, Esquire, Lieutenant Colonel, U.S. Army, retired president of NBRA.
National Black Republican Association.
Yeah.
Let's read a little bit about her. Frances Rice joined the Army in 1964 as a private and retired as a lieutenant colonel after 20 years of active service. She received a Bachelor of Science degree from Drury College in 1973, a Master of Business Administration from Golden Gate University in 1976, and a Juris Doctorate degree from the University of California, Hastings College of Law, in 1977, all while serving in the U.S. Army. During her 20 years of active duty in the U.S. Army, Frances served in a variety of positions, including commander of a WAC company, adjunct of a basic combat training brigade, a prosecuting attorney, and a chief of the administrative law division. She also served as a special assistant to Army Judge Advocate General and an advisor to the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Equal Opportunity.
Subsequent to her military career, Frances worked for the McDonnell Douglas Corporation, serving first as a member of that company's think tank, and then as a government contract advisor. And she later taught business law for the European Division of the University of Maryland in Brussels, Belgium. This lady's quite a lady. Frances became politically active in 1982 and served as a member of President Ronald Reagan's Private Sector Initiatives Task Force, and worked as a volunteer in the campaign of President Ronald Reagan, George Bush, H. Bush, G.W. Bush, as well as Governor Jeff. I kind of lost any respect for her because of that, okay,
yeah.
that she would work for those assholes. But at the same time, hey, you know, why not? At least she put it out there, you know. And she lost any credibility that she worked for G.W. Bush and didn't try to impeach that schmuck.
Yeah.
Right? But
for doing very similar things.
Yeah, or worse, actually, in many ways worse. But, you know, hey, you know, let's go where it is. At least she went out there and did it, you know. You know what I mean?
That's right.
So I thought it was interesting that she should. But
I agree with
what
she said.
I do too.
I think it was very wrong, but
I don't at all
time.
Agree with her political stance.
No,
I
don't either.
Shill, but at the same time, you know, hey, she was right. She pointed out what should have been done. But I was saying, Obama stood in front of a Democratic Congress, all right, and you know, wrote with 20 articles of impeachment against George Bush and Dick Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he laughed at them, basically. They totally ignored them. And so did the media. So it's like, you know...
Or when Kucinich?
Yeah, Kucinich did that, remember?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like...
You said Obama.
Oh, did I say Obama?
Yeah.
I meant Kucinich.
Yeah.
It's getting late. We should be doing this show at 7, I think, from now on.
Probably.
Maybe I'll change it to 7. What do you think?
It might be a good idea.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Obama demands to open packages, targets FedEx, UPS. This really turned my butt and my guts when I read this. You know.
Really?
Oh, yeah. This guy is just a criminal. I mean, he just has absolutely no regard for
individual privacy,
Fourth Amendment, Second Amendment, First Amendment. I mean,
open packages and he targets FedEx.
UPS.
Is it blow?
What's up?
It didn't open.
Yeah, it's open. It's just that it's not responding. It's, the computer is installed. Give me a second.
Anyway. Just a minute, folks. It's taking a minute to open. There it is.
Oh, yeah, I didn't get a fat lady commercial on there. Okay.
Hmm.
Obama administration understanding of the Fourth Amendment prohibiting the government from conducting unreasonable searches and seizures leaves a lot to be desired. And this is from,
World Truth TV.
Yeah. Okay.
The Justice Department demands the nation's two largest courier delivery service companies, FedEx and UPS, report on the contents of customers' sealed packages, according to WND.com. At issue is the delivery of prescription medicines from online pharmacies to customers.
Although FedEx has a 40-year history of cooperating with authorities, according to company spokesman Patrick Fitzgerald, this case is different. Moreover, criminal charges may be on their way against the carriers. What is unusual and really disturbing is that it became clear to us along the way
that FedEx was being targeted for some level of criminal activity as it relates to these medicines that are being shipped from pharmacies, and we find it to be completely absurd because it's really not our role, Fitzgerald said. We have no way of knowing what is legal and not within the packages that we're picking up and delivering in this situation.
Right. At the heart of the investigation are sealed packages that are being sent by, as far as we can tell, licensed pharmacies. These are medicines with legal prescriptions written by licensed physicians. So it's difficult for us to understand where we would have some role in this, Fitzgerald explained. We are a transportation company that picks up and delivers close to 10 million packages every day. They are sealed packages. So we have no way of knowing specifically what's inside, and we have no interest in violating the privacy of our customers.
The FedEx's representative said at the heart of the issue wasn't just online pharmacies, but rather the privacy of his customers. This really has a chilling effect. It has the potential to threaten the privacy of all customers that send or receive packages via FedEx because the government is assigning a role on us as law enforcement, or taking on their role in the way that is not appropriate, Fitzgerald said.
FedEx attempts to find a middle ground hit a brick wall. If the government were to come to us and give us the name of a customer that engaged in some level of illegal activity, we can immediately stop shipping for that customer, Fitzgerald said. But what we want here is a solution that will apply to the entire industry and serve the public's interest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's FedEx suggested that the department provide it with a list of names of online pharmacies suspected of engaging in criminal activity, likening it to a no-fly list provided to commercial airlines. What we want here is the no-fly list of online pharmacies, Fitzgerald said, but the government won't provide one.
We find it completely absurd and to a large degree stunning that the government is not working with us on the solution as they have with other problems in the past. As long as they're not doing it, there's really no solution. Although UPS is currently negotiating a settlement with the Justice Department, with FedEx, settlement is not an option for us when there's no illegal activity on our part, Fitzgerald said.
So it's a catch-22 for these poor guys,
mm-hmm.
really, when you come right down to it. And hopefully they'll fight. I thought this was a kind of an interesting thing. I posted it. But it's kind of fascinating to see this. Stalin, after disarming the Soviet population, Joseph Stalin murdered 20-plus million people.
Ooh.
And then Mao Zedong.
After disarming the Chinese people, Mao Zedong murdered 40-plus million people.
It says, beware when a government wants to disarm its people, for they are not concerned for the people's safety, but for their own. Mass murderers agree gun control works. Now Hitler, after disarming the German population, Adolf Hitler murdered 14-plus million people. Barack Obama has an agenda to disarm the U.S. population. So what does that mean, folks? What does that mean? Wouldn't surprise me.
People were afraid.
Yeah. Be very afraid, folks. Obama is a dictator, and we're proving that tonight. We've been proving it all along.
Well, others are proving it. We're just doing their work.
Yeah. This is interesting. Yeah, Chris Hedges, reporter. He said he's the one that sued you.
Yep.
He's persona non grata now, but he can't get his news anywhere.
We now live in a nation where doctors destroy health, lawyers destroy justice, universities destroy knowledge, governments destroy freedom, the press destroys information, religion destroys morals, and our banks destroy the economy, Chris Hedges. Oh, God, he's so right.
Isn't that amazing? This is interesting too. I don't know if everybody remembers Omar, our poor guy, Muammar Gaddafi. But he said, I don't know how he was exactly, but I really like him for some of his words. He is much better than the dictator society. Whoever wrote this, but he says, I think America, he said this, Muammar Gaddafi said, I think Americans are good, but America will be taken over and destroyed for the inside by the Zionist lobbies. The Americans do not see this. They are getting decadent. Zionists will use them to destroy them. Muammar Gaddafi. And it shows him,
being mutilated.
Horribly mutilated.
Okay.
But, it's, I can't tell you, it's really what it is. There's a little YouTube video that goes with it on. Get out of your speech, America.
لما تكلموا عن حدود 67 يعني هذه الحقيقة شيء مذهل جدا جدا وين القضية اللي قبل
67
كنا نكذب على أنفسنا ونكذب على العالم. آلاف الشهداء سقطوا قبل 67 من أجل من؟ كيف تقولون أن فلسطين احتلت عام 67 وعودوا إلى 67
Yeah. We'll read some of this.
This is Muammar Gaddafi, and he's saying, people here talked about the pre-1967. To tell you the truth, this is astonishing. Whatever happened to the Palestinian cause, we're trying to, we're lying to ourselves.
It's a little too fast. People have talked about the borders. To tell you the truth, that this is astonishing. He says, whatever happened to the Palestinian cause, it's too fast.
It's too fast. We can't read it.
Sorry, folks. I suggest you go to this Gaddafi speech, America Hangs Saddam and We Might Be Next. Right? And
he was right.
He was next. But so anyway. I'm sorry I can't read that. It wasn't translated and it was only translated in words. Written words.
And it was very sad.
Yeah.
People will stop asking you stupid questions if you answer back in interpretive data. Oh, I love that. That's cute.
Yeah, that's
very cute.
This one here, this was kind of frightening. Scott Walker, who was the governor of Wisconsin there, turned out that he paid police to crack down on union protesters.
Really?
Yeah, it says, rewarded Capitol Police for crackdown on protesters with huge raises. Yeah. And it says, some of us have wondered why Governor Scott Walker police take part in this crackdown on the Capitol while at the same time he speaks of stripping them of their collective bargaining rights. Apparently, it's a money thing and deals are made. Walker's enforcers, are getting bonuses for cracking down on grannies and others. Hardcore criminals, such as tourists and veterans. Let's see. JS Online reports that Governor Scott Walker administration rewarded the new hardline Capitol Police Chief and his top deputies with double-digit pay raises earlier this year after moving the pair on paper to phantom jobs for 2 weeks and then back to their real posts. Chief Dave Irwin, who was overseeing a crackdown on Walker's protest, on Walker protesters said the State House sat the State House was that? Walker protests at the State House received an overall salary hike of 11.7% to $111,067 a year, the same rate as his predecessor, which amounted to $11,680 annual raise.
Wow.
That hefty raise was possible only because Walker officials transferred Irwin on February 5th to a ghost position in the State Department of Administration, according to a company of the transfer letter obtained by a Journal Sentinel. Then on the same day, he was shuffled back to his real job as head of the Capitol Police Force. So he's given $11,000, all right, to go crack heads. And, each of the moves backdated to earlier in the fiscal year came with a retroactive boost in pay for Irwin. Under state rules, the chief is a civil servant, not a political appointee. And Peter Fox, who served as Employment Relations Secretary under then-Governor Tommy Thompson, a Republican, said that the moves were legal but a charade performed for favored employees. Fox said he was basing his comments on what he knew at state practices for his tenure more than a decade ago. So this is common practice for him to do this crap, right? So, yeah. Oh, well, so much for that shit. Because Walker thinks that this is what Franklin Delano Roosevelt would do, I guess, I don't know. After the 2011 protest, Wisconsin revised the policy to require the public to apply for a permit to advance of any performance, ceremony, presentation, meeting, rally, blah, 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 festival reception, because you must be pro-Walker or leave. There is So,
nice guy,
either
huh?
You're pro-Walker or you're gone.
So he takes the people's money and bribes.
Yeah, he's not going to pay them. What else is he going to pay them?
Mm-hmm. So it's misappropriation of funds, basically.
Yeah, it's really pretty sick. Yeah. Well, I don't know what to tell you on that.
That's an interesting picture. Go back.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know if it's fake or not, but it's kind of funny. It's all in Russian. Ever wonder what happened to Condi? She married Obama, died in Pakistan.
No, married Osama.
Osama, rather. And she loved him and promised she would stay by his side forever. It's funny that everyone thought she was doing GW. those are my words, but this really came up as a previous United States Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, was pictured smiling with the Osama, so-called terrorist Osama bin Laden in 1998. There's a picture of them together. It's kind of funny. Here it is, folks, believe it or not. Yeah, so this is Department of Defense blocks millions of computers from viewing alternative websites. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was telling you about.
World Truth TV.
Yeah. The scope of the military blackout wasn't immediately clear. This is perhaps one of the most shocking displays of blatant censorship in the history of the United States. It's the idea that classified information should still be treated as off-limits to regular military personnel after its broad release to the public made no sense. Unless, of course, they don't want soldiers learning the truth about what their government is doing for fear that they may recognize who the true enemies of the Constitution are. And, or, this may simply be a beta test of the government's technology capability to filter internet traffic away from certain news stories and websites that carry them. In either case, this will be a huge story in itself. Draconian internet censorship has finally arrived in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's really.
There's a little audio.
Yeah, we
piece
can do an audio here. Guardian editor in chief speaks out on this.
On security leaks.
A 29-year-old hacker, but he says other nations should return Snowden as a matter of law enforcement. Last night on his PBS program, Charlie Rose spoke with the editors-in-chief of The Guardian, the British newspaper that first reported this leak. Well, they talked about the publishing and U.S. security.
Do you believe national security of the United States has been damaged?
I do not. And we have consulted with the authorities about everything that we have published, and we've invited them with the NSA, with the White House.
It's come up before with other organizations in the United States. Do you go to NSA authorities, whether it's General Alexander or someone else, and say, this is what we're prepared to publish? What's the next part of the question?
Well, in this situation, you're not really asking a question because you have the information.
You're saying, I'm going to publish this. What's your response?
You're saying, this is what we have. Do you have a specific national security concern that you would like to alert us to?
That's a question.
And, well, yes, that is a question. Or we are inviting you to raise.
Right.
And then we don't guarantee that we will agree with their interpretation.
Of course.
But what we're saying is we would, we'd like to hear that. And
you heard it.
Actually,
we haven't heard specific national security concerns
about any of
they never expressed any national security specific concerns.
Mm-hmm.
I think it says that they would rather we didn't publish any of it.
That would be fair to say.
This morning's Washington Post is reporting that the company hired to screen Edward Snowden for his top security clearance is under fire. Federal investigators say the company routinely misled the government about the thoroughness of its background checks.
Well, that's for that, folks.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's affecting a lot of folks. I don't know if I want to get into this tonight, but we think we should go to a quick music break.
Okay.
And then, but it says five things to know about the cost of Obamacare coverage. I found that this was such a mess. All right. When I was reading this thing, I just said, this is crazy.
Thank you.
$80 billion in 2010 alone, and it comes with human moral costs that are impossible to calculate.
There you go, folks.
What's that?
Oh, I don't know. It's just a slideshow.
People killed
by the war on
drugs. Oh, dear.
Yeah. Not that much. Okay.
Monsanto-funded lies. They are telling us that genetically altered crops are good for us and the environment, that they are, in fact, a necessity to feed the world's population. They say all of this even though we seem to feed the masses just fine without chemical quackery until about 60 years ago, all while dumping millions of tons of unaltered food right into the trash bin. If, however, you believe GMOs are toxic, cancer-causing substances, you have another option.
Yeah.
Grandi Oats.
That's just the product.
That's the company?
Yeah. Grandi Oats. Okay.
Certified organic granola, oatmeal, trail mix, and roasted nuts.
We will always need to fight for what we believe in and ignite change to new things, like the March Against Monsanto and the upcoming Monsanto Revolt video. But it is also so important to use your dollars not to vote, but also to keep yourself healthy. And it goes...
courtesy of the Non-GMO Project,
yeah.
Here is a list of companies who make or even... You jumped here, Leo. I was reading something. Who make many or even the majority of all their products without GMOs.
It says 365, that's the company, 479 Degrees, A. Vogel, Adam's Vegetable Oil,
Agrana, AgriCorp Incorporated, Alaska,
Alexia,
Alter Ego,
Alvarado Street Bakery,
Amande,
Amelia,
Among Friends, Amy's Kitchen, you've probably heard of that. Andalou Naturals, Angie's Artisan Treats, Annie's, Aravin Planet, Arrowhead Mills, Artisan Bistro Home Direct, Atlantic Organic, Atlantic Rose.
That's just fine. That's 400 here. So,
wow.
Yeah, I'm gonna just tell you to go to this.
Blue Natural.
And you know, the funny thing is, I don't recognize hardly any of these.
No.
I'm going to recommend you go to this website, World Truth TV, and look up the 400 companies that aren't using GMOs. Okay. But I will say, why don't I give you this? Top worst GMO foods, 10 top. Okay. Let's read that.
Genetically modified foods have been shown to cause harm to humans, animals, and the environment. Despite growing opposition, more and more foods continue to be genetically altered. It is important to note that steering clear of these foods completely may be difficult. You should merely try to find other sources than your big chain grocer. If products are certified USDA organic, it's non-GMO or supposed to be. Also, seek out local farmers in booths at farmers markets where you can be insured that the crops aren't GMO. Even better, if you're so inclined, start organic gardening and grow them yourself. Until then, here are the top 10 worst GMO foods for you.
Corn is really bad. First two. Oh, soy. Okay. Sugar. Aspartame. Papayas.
Canola.
Canola oil. One of the most chemically altered foods in the U.S. diet. Canola oil is obtained from rapeseed enough through a series of chemical actions. Papayas, I'm surprised. This one may come as a surprise to all of you tropical fruit lovers. GMO papayas have been grown in Hawaii for consumption since 1999. Though they can't be sold to countries in the European Union, they are welcome with open arms in the U.S. and Canada. Man. We're such suckers.
I know it.
Cotton. Found in cotton oil. Cotton originating in India and China in particular has serious risks.
Dairy. Your dairy products may contain growth hormones, since as many as one-fifth of all dairy cows in America are pumped with these hormones. In fact, Monsanto's health hazardous RBGH has been banned in 27 countries, but it's still in most U.S. cows. If you must drink or milk, drink milk, buy organic.
Number nine, 10. Crying out loud, zucchini and yellow squash.
I never would have thought of that.
I never would have thought. Closely related, these two squash varieties are modified to resist viruses. The dangers of some of these foods are well known, but the BT toxin being used in GMO corn, for example, was recently detected in the blood of pregnant women and their babies. But perhaps more frightening are the risks that are still unknown. Even while these foods should be on your GMO food list so that they are avoided, you can buy 100% organic to be safest. With little regulation and safety tests performed by the companies doing the genetic modifications themselves, we have no way of knowing for certain what risks these lab-created foods pose to us outside of what we really know. The best advice is steer clear of them altogether. Now that was amazing. Zucchini and squash. Yellow squash.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Ah. Oh, God. Let me go down the list one more
with
time.
Nine.
Nine was zucchini and squash.
Oh, nine and ten. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And, but again, it's corn.
Soy.
Soy.
Sugar.
Sugar. Aspartame.
Papayas.
Canola oil, cotton and cotton oil, and dairy, and zucchini, and yellow squash.
When they said sugar, do they mean sugar beets? They have to mean. I wonder if they mean sugar beets.
According to Natural News, genetically modified sugar beets were introduced to the market in 2009. Like others, they've been modified by Monsanto to resist herbicides. Monsanto has even had USDA and court-related issues with the planting of its sugar beets being ordered to remove seeds from the soil due to illegal approval.
Yeah.
So.
It's the sugar beets, not the sugar cane.
Yeah.
No. Boy, they're not happy until they screw up our food.
Until they kill everybody.
Really?
This one,
How about that one,
Yeah, I was going to go right to it. Where is it? I just passed it.
Patriot Act and the NDAA, your TV might be watching you.
Yeah.
It's a scary thought.
Yeah, I thought it was smart TVs now, really.
Anything, any product, really, that connects to the Internet.
Yeah, but not just that.
I read that in the future, you might, your appliances, your dishwasher.
Yeah, that stuff, even now, they can do that. And that's why I said,
I don't have a camera on my dishwasher, so they could be listening. Soviet America.
TV watches you. Welcome to the surveillance age where everything you possess can be used by the state to spy on you. I've been using a little piece of electric tape to cover my computer cameras for years, but I don't go to the extreme of disabling the mic, which is not addressed in this piece. That's a little bit of a, this is a
little video.
Yeah, video.
What's really eye-opening here is you watch your TV, but with this hack, your TV can watch you. Show us how that works.
So one of the things that we were able to do with the Smart TV platform was actually abuse the browser to the extent that we could actually gain access to the camera that's built into the TV.
Right.
And so what we can prove here is that with a little bit of extra code, we can turn the camera on in your browser.
Wow.
And while this is evident to you right here because we've designed it that way, this is something that we can do invisibly and actually have the camera running behind the web page that you're looking at.
So what this means is I could be sitting here watching TV from my bedroom, and you could be anywhere in the world looking at this image of me watching.
Yep, I could be sitting on a laptop in a cafe in Paris, and as long as I have a network connection, I'd be able to get into your TV and access the camera.
The kind of scary things about it is that it doesn't actually give any indication that the camera's on, and there is no little LED that shows up when the camera's on. So it could actually be watching you, and you'd never even know.
What is a smart TV, and why is it a playground, essentially, for hackers?
Right. It's a computer. So instead of just being, you know, a tube and some other electronics, now it has a web browser, and it has, you know, a lot of devices are running Linux. X is the actual windowing system that the TV runs, just like a normal Linux system, so I can go ahead and just kill that right now, and the TV should turn black.
But the real danger is when people start using smart TVs for things like online banking, we can take a popular bank address and translate that into a different IP address to a site that directs to a site that we control. So it may look like your bank's login, but you're actually entering a username and password that goes to us instead of your bank.
Oh. In a statement to CNN Money, Samsung says it takes consumer privacy very seriously. The camera can be turned into the bezel of the TV so that the lens is covered or disabled by pushing the camera inside the bezel. The TV owner can also unplug the TV from the home network when the smart TV features are not in use. As an added precaution, we also recommend that customers use encrypted wireless access points when using connected devices.
When people see this and listen to this, they're going to think, my God, can people actually watch me from my television? Can you definitively say that has been fixed?
This issue has existed even on laptops. It's a lot harder now because, you know, different companies have taken a lot of efforts to make that difficult. But the fundamental flaw is still possible, you know, even on a modern computer. It just takes somebody to, you know, find the right exploit and then leverage it.
For those of us who are a little freaked out and maybe don't trust all these updates, what's the easiest fix?
So one of the things that you could do with the smart TV, which you can also do with your laptops, is just cover up the camera. Put a little post-it note over it, a piece of tape, and next time that you want to Skype with your family, just take it off.
That's it, folks.
Yep.
And,
so your TV might be watching you.
Yes.
But later on, it could be your dishwasher or your blender.
I can say that honestly because that happened to me. And
that was scary, freaky.
So you must cover your cameras, especially if you have an external. If you have an internal camera, do the same thing. Cover it up with tape. But if you have an external one, take it off, disconnect it from your computer because they'll get in at you. And nothing freaks you out more than seeing yourself and somebody, you know, hacking your site.
Realizing that somebody is looking at you.
Yeah, and trying to extort money from you. Or
which happened to you.
Freeze up your computer or, mm-hmm. you know, anything. So, it's really, really, really important to do that. So, tape it up, watch it. Because, folks, it's real. It is real. Anyway, have a wonderful night.
Yeah, thanks for being with us and listening to us. Tune us in tomorrow night. And we'll talk a little bit about union news and other news. Have a good night, folks.
Good night.
Good night.